informs me and teaches me more about preaching than any preacher's workshop at Bible college that I've ever been through. So one of the things she has taught me is, Keith, don't say a word until you talk about this. So I am being very submissive. Okay, so our prayer cards, we totally ran out, and the friends of ours that they do this for us, they're like, well, sorry, Keith, you know, we'll get them to you ASAP, we'll do it through Walmart. Well, so when you see a prayer card, normally it's like this, right? Well, in the back, our prayer cards are two cards. And here's what I'm asking. I just want to brand you with this. Nothing happens in our life without prayer. Amen. I'm asking you, put this in your car, put it in your latest book. Give it to your boss. Say, this guy's just crazy, or this couple is doing this. Just do this and pray. And it's amazing what God does. But I'm asking, it would be super sweet and amazing if you would take two of these, so at the front and the back. Take five of them. Take 10 of them, front and the back, and share them and tell what God's doing. Speak it. Use your mouth to speak what God's doing. And if you want to hear from us, please take one of these and fill it out. I feel so much better having done that because I would probably forget otherwise. So I want to start by introducing myself to you. My wife and I have been in youth ministry full-time about 17 and a half years, and that's our son, Cole. He's 5 years old, and he's rocking school, and that's why they are not here. We've got a great bilingual Christian school in Santiago, and we're like, you got to go, buddy. And so when we felt called into missions, some amazingly huge things happened in our life, and I'm going to spill some of those out. But it was one of the biggest nauseating things to do. Like, our vocation, our professional world was inside of the church, this, like, a beautiful church like this, you know. And to step away and then do something that's not your skin, you know? And it was huge. And so check out this next picture. God allowed us to partner with some really amazing people. The Stones and our family, Nate and Rachel and their four kids, it is like we are family. When you're on the field, you call people aunt and uncle, because if you don't, you're not going to see your own aunt and uncles for years. It's just time flies. And so God has welded us, and we all have different personalities. And you can see Nate and Rachel in the middle. And Rachel's got her hands up like this, and we just fit on the map differently. And I want to say a little bit about that. God's burned me and has given me an absolute love for the church, the body of believers. He's burned me for that. He's also given me a huge heart to reach the lost. My wife is much, much more reserved, okay? So if any of you can relate to that, my wife is the one over here. She would love to be back by the table. And then when people come out, just shake hands. Hi, hi, hi. You know, and so, but she is like our backbone. But God has uniquely welded us together. Let me see the next picture. This is the Dominican Republic, and what I'd like you to see is on the top side in the slant down, we call that the North Shore. If you want to know of all the kind of tourism that goes on, if you take the tip right here and you go up the North Shore, all the major tourism and people, the places that people love to go see are on that side. In the days past, 20-plus years ago, it was on the south side by the capital, and this is where the Dominican Republic got its name. Sex tourism birthed out of Boca Chica. Outside of the capital, it became one of the hot spots in the Caribbean. The Dominican Republic is one of those unusual islands, countries in the world, where they allow foreigners to come in, buy property on the beach, and actually make revenue or make a business out of it. So it's a frontier, and over the last 20-plus years, this has been like a gold mine for investors all over the world. Well, that North Shore is where we do a lot of our ministry. We live in the largest northern city, Santiago, and we have a church there that we are part of. Let's see the next one. So you might not know this, but you know, basically, developing worlds have huge unemployment rates. Still doesn't even, like, draw the picture out. But 29 or just under 30% are unemployed. It's a democratic republic. They model their government right after us. So, I mean, if we have a president, they've got one, and they have a Senate, we've got a Senate. You know, they model it the same. 70 years ago, sugar, coffee, citrus was how the country made money. Rice, beans, they shipped farming, agriculture, they shipped that out. Today, 75% of their revenue comes from tourism. Over 7 million people come from the United States. Many, 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 many million more come from first world countries all over the world. And people are pouring into this place for two primary reasons. It's absolutely gorgeous Caribbean. It's absolutely amazing. If you've ever had movies that you've seen where the beach seems to go on forever and nobody's there and you get to ride horses on white sandy beaches, that would be the Dominican Republic. People love to come here. And the Dominicans have stood up and paid attention. And that's where their hot spot is. Go to the next one. The thing that I want to share with you is what our mission is: to rescue, restore, renew victims of human trafficking. The problem with this is it doesn't fit into the hard drive of the body of Christ. It doesn't. There's no book in the Bible where Paul's going out and saying, make this part of, because it's part of the world. No, it's about the church. And there's an expectation that we as Christ followers will actually look for the least of these and feed them. We'll look for the least of these and reach them. We'll look for the naked and the poor and the caged, free them, clothe them, food, give them food. That's what's expected in the gospel. You don't find naked people inside of the church. You don't find people caged up inside behind bars. And so all of a sudden, we come here to do what I love. Do you love your worship team? Okay, that would be a good moment to say yes, amen. They lead us in worship. We get to join them and sing. You don't find too many worship teams on the strip walking around with bar ladies, naked people, drunks, drug addicts. It's in here. It's where the body of believers come together and we commit a local spot. And we say, this is where we're going to worship God. And we make that spot as sanctified as possible because we love Jesus. But pay attention to Jesus. He didn't stay in the building. And so when this subject of human trafficking comes up, I know you're swallowing a big pill to listen to me. And I'm honored that your pastor let me in the door. I'm not kidding. We've sat in front of pastors that are missions pastors before, and we're like 10 minutes in talking about statistics and talking about sex trafficking and people that are enslaved. And I'm starting to see, like, there's no heart behind the guy's eyes. And so I'm starting to, like, am I saying something wrong? You know, like, this is where Jesus told us to go, right? And so I get, let me tell you more stories, right? About 20 minutes in, he interrupts me and my partner presenting. He goes, I am mocking him, I'm sorry. Oh, brother. Poor people. There's just nothing we're going to do about poor people. They're always going to be with us. It says it in the Bible. And I'm like, I'm about ready to slap you. And he goes, he puts his hand on my shoulder, and now I'm boiling.
And those girls selling themselves. At least they're making money.
And my temperature went right through the roof. And the Spirit of God, I know we're not charismatic, but it was the Holy Spirit that was like, calm down. And he did a magical thing in my head. And he started giving me one scripture after another. And I was like, praise God. You know, Jesus gives us an example of this when we feed the poor. And it was like, because I was going to kill him. And I was like, get me out of here. It feels gross here. I want to go. I am honored to be in front of you. And I know this subject doesn't fit. But I'm asking for some attention. This subject. Tip it off with this. Don't forget this. Slavery is stronger today. Slavery is stronger today than in all of human history combined. Sexual, commercial prostitution. The commercial sex trade. When you see the word commercial, think of commercials on TV. Commercial means you get to see. They say in the neighborhood of 35 million commercial slaves in the world. Commercial means you get to see it. What about what you don't see? So we've been privileged to travel many parts of the country, many parts of the world, and we have done our investigation. Our churches commissioned us, and they backed us to research. My church kept me on staff for 6 months full pay so that I could present our mission and the research behind what we were doing. And I had nothing to do in the church. Amy and I just had to put down the hammer and find and research. And so when we came, we were able to tell stories of some of our very first places. And so here is one of the places that we have visited. This is a good friend of mine. He's a missionary to Taiwan. We were able to go and see the second largest house of pleasure in the world. And when I told you earlier, God made all of us differently, I would say Nate and I are like these brothers. And you can't make us too mad. Like, if you make us too mad, it's going to just get bad, right? But in the Strip, this is weird. Like, I know Nate would testify to this. He's got a temper. But when we're on the Strip and when we're reaching into the dark, it's like God anoints us somehow. And he's proving that we're wired for it. And so when we see something like this, and Mark was like, let's go pray over the temples. We're in Taiwan with him. And we're like, yes, let's go do that. And so what you can't see here, this is a temple that offers temple prostitution worship. This is people that are actually paying to begin their worship. And then you go to all the different places of the temple, and that's where the worship happens. There's more heinous places in the world than what's in the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic is a Catholic country. They still look at all of this and try to put it under the carpet. So when we were doing this, our eyes were like opened up really wide. So we're like just going and we're praying and we're asking God. And Mark goes, that statue is 150 feet tall. When they put that thing in, I brought for 4 years teams down and circled the temple and asked God to just make that thing fall. And he goes, Keith, a miracle happened. He goes, I was standing right here at this restaurant, and the whole face of the idol just fell right to the ground. And he's like jumping up and down because this temple is crumbling. A prayer request. When you go onto the mission field, it's not Christian community. There's not like you can walk, like, it's not like this. It's like you interface with Jesus differently. It's like all of a sudden the King James Old Testament comes out in you, and you're like going to pray wrath down on things. And we do. And things change and things happen. And so when we went to the, I can't show you pictures, but when we went to the second largest house of pleasure, it used to be the number one largest house of pleasure. We go in there, and Nate and I are like, oh man, now what do we do? You know, like, we don't speak Taiwanese. We don't have an interpreter. They speak broken English. And we're like, we'd like to be guided around. Rachel, you know, the girl, bah, like this. She's, no, we all want a room. We're like, come again? She's like, I want a room. They usher us to the fourth floor. And we're like, who are you, woman? Like, we know her. And Nate's like, are you sure you're... She's like, we're going to get a room. We walk into this room, and the room was like this big. And you have, literally, you have a screen, and you can choose things. And then all of a sudden, the host comes in and says, well, what would be... And she goes, well, I'm here to party. And we're like, do we know you, Rach? Like, we're like, we didn't say a word. It's like all of a sudden, we just went quiet. And God, like, just poured it on her. And she's like, well, I've got a question. Now, am I going to get to know these girls before I have to pay for something? Well, we always try to be discreet. She goes, well, what if I don't like the way they look? Well, we can get you new girls. She goes, well, I'm going to feel kind of guilty if I say, you're ugly, I want another one. She's sitting here talking just like this. And it was unbelievable what happened. Unbelievable. They're like, we will do anything to please you and bring you pleasure. Rach is the only one talking. All of a sudden they leave, and we're like, Rach, what are you doing? And she's like, I got this. And we're like, okay. She goes, we come here to look and learn, didn't we? I was like, got you, sister, you go. So we sit back down. I said, how long are we staying here? Because I'm not feeling it, you know? And she goes, no, we're almost done. And I'm like, where'd you get this brain in your head, you know? And all of a sudden, they come back in. They're like, we have the girls ready. She goes, I don't know. I'm not convinced you're going to make me feel happy. Now, what if I go through this process, and at the end of the night, I'm not feeling happy? They look at her again, and they're like, we will make sure that when you leave this place, you are 100% satisfied. She goes, Well, this has been a good time, but I think we're going to go. Please listen to this. When we saw the ladies lined up, there wasn't anybody with identity. They were all dressed the same. They were all ready to be accepted or rejected. They were all ready to be told what to do. They were all ready to be paid for what they accomplished. Are any of us going to go into the second largest house of pleasure and hang out? I don't think so. It's not normal. It's not, we can't even wrap our brains around it. Like, I'm still, as I share that story, I'm stunned. Next. Human trafficking is a form of modern day slavery where people profit from the control and exploitation of others. It's not just sex, it's also labor. But where we're targeting is God has called us to the sex trade. And let me tell you why. I was on a trip, one of my very first trips, and I get to go with this organization. And one of the things that they do is they rescue kids, and they rescue them like crazy. That is not something you can do in Latin America. You can't steal a kid. you have to bring in law enforcement. In the East, Thailand, the Philippines, those places, you can take a kid that's being abused. They don't care. They don't. So when we're in there, they set us up. We land into Bangkok. And one of the things that we see, let's see the next page. One of the things we see is the picture on, it would be your right, is literally 14 blocks of bar ladies. We call them bar ladies because there's not any woman I've ever met, even if she plays the field, that likes the word prostitute. So we try to teach people when they come to the strip with us and we're talking to a hustler or we're talking to a bartender, we say, we would like to hang out with some bar ladies. Can you show us some? So we say bar ladies. We walked this strip and there was 14 blocks of just one place after another. And I'm walking, we divide up in groups of two, and all we were to do is observe and pray, observe and pray. And so we're walking, and these bar ladies are coming out, and they're grabbing you like this. Come on, I help you. And they want you to go inside their bar. And they grab you, they do all kinds of things to try to sell. They want you inside the bar. And we keep walking, no, gracias, you know, we're like, no, thank you, we're not here, that's okay, we're just looking, trying to have some fun. And so we keep walking, and some of the men, there was 13 of us. We had a couple of photographers, one journalist. We had two pastors. We had a couple of lay people out of a church. One guy was just curious about the sex trade. And so we're walking, we're divided into two. These two ladies, the youngest ladies we had, just over 30. They were 100 feet into this strip, and they literally fell to the ground. Please hear me say this. They fell to the ground bawling. And it was right there. They were bawling. It was gross. And when you sit and see girls, young girls, that look like middle school bodies in bikinis, saying, hola, hello, 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 I help you. It'll do something to you. These girls literally had to be carried out. We got them up. We're like, are you guys okay? Stay here. We're going to go look. All of us are going up. Some of the men are starting to get red, and their faces are getting red because it's starting to make them mad. And you see all these expats from all over the world sitting in bars, sitting with girls, sitting with you name it. We're walking the strip. We get done with that. And when we come out, the guide was super spiritual, super sensitive. He goes, listen, I know this is rough. He goes, but we have one more place we would like to show you, but I need to make sure everybody is okay. We will stop right here. So we all took time to pray. We got in a circle. We're like, God, open our eyes, break our hearts, do whatever you want to do to us, whether it scares us or hurts us. Open us up. We all come back. We're like, we're good. We walk for a mile. And when we get to this place, I don't have a picture of it. It says, the largest adult playground in the world. And in the top part, it says that in English. In the other part, it was in Thai. And we walk in, and there's four stories of brothels. Four stories. And the guide says, we're heading to the fourth floor. And it was the only brothel that had the lights turned off, doors locked. When we get there, we're taking pictures. And literally, in April of 2013, it says this on this stamp, doors with a chain. It says, unlawful crimes against child and humanity, against children and humanity. Closed in. It was the first time this organization was able to partner with police and enter into the largest adult playground and literally shut a brothel down in 2013. Bangkok is called the sex capital of the world. Can you imagine all of heavenly hosts and all of the evil ones sitting back watching this scene of normal people and police officer walking into this sacred stronghold of the evil one and shutting it down and pulling out 21 children. Blows my mind. So I'm sitting here and I'm reeling from this, and I go back to the place and we're debriefing, and all of a sudden I sit to the one of the guys, he was the lead rescuer for this organization. They had six places, and in 2013 they rescued 496 kids. And so all of a sudden I'm looking right at him, everybody's crying, everybody's mad. I grew up on a children's home. I have seen a lot. So for some reason there was a little bit of oil and water, and I said, Damien, I said, I have a question. I said, out of all of what we've seen, I said, how do you know who to rescue? And he goes, Keith, in 13 years of doing this, I've never been asked that question by an American. He goes, why? I said, no. He goes, because they just assume we're going to rescue them all. We're not. He goes, let me tell it to you like this. When you see somebody drowning in a pool, I related to that scenario. I used to be a lifeguard. When you see somebody drowning, he goes, are you looking at anybody else? I said, nope. He goes, when you're literally looking at the pool and there's nobody drowning and everybody's just playing, he goes, who are you looking for? I said, the person who's choking. He goes, why are you keeping your eyes on it and you're not talking to anybody? I said, because I'm thinking it's going to happen soon. He goes, exactly. He goes, we got some information from an informant. By the way, Damien used to own his own plumbing company. The founder of this organization had an electrical company. They felt called by God to go start this. And I'm saying, if a plumber and an electrical guy, surely I can do something here. And so all of a sudden, he says this. He goes, we were told some information. He goes, so we went into this bar. Three rescuers. He goes, unbeknownst to the bartender, unbeknownst to the mamazon, which is an American version of a pimp, unbeknownst to them, we were connected. The one guy goes to the bar, and two of us sit down in lounge chairs. He goes, when we sit down in the lounge chairs, all of a sudden the mamazon parades out 15, 1 through 15, medallions around their necks, no bras on, and you pick which one, which number you like. And all of a sudden, he goes, I'm sitting there with the information. I'm looking at the guy. Don't say a word, just. He goes, two more times goes by, 45 minutes goes by, and they have paraded out two separate sets of girls every time we've shooed them on and said younger. 50 plus minutes goes by, we weren't even in there an hour, and I looked over at the guy, I said, this is a bust, the kids aren't here. He goes, we get up to go out, and all of a sudden, the mamazon brings out three girls. He goes, the oldest one was 11 years old. The youngest one was naked with a pantyhose mesh over, and she's just sitting there like this. He goes, when you are looking into the pool, who do you see? I said, the drowning person. He goes, make no mistake, when you see that, you're going to do something. He goes, so what we did for the next 3 hours is set them down and talked. We paid the bar fine of $1.50 an hour. And he goes, and in about the 2.5 hour mark, the oldest 11-year-old giggles. He goes, when we got her to giggle, we took a selfie. And when we left at 3 hour mark, we left the guy at the bar, and we send that picture off to the next rescuer. Over the period of 16 hours, we're trading in and out rescuers, keeping tabs on these kids. And he goes, just Christ followers. And at the hour of 16, it's 6 a.m. in the morning. He goes, the guy is at the bar, the mamazon's counting money, and he looks over, and the Holy Spirit says, it's time. And he sees it, he goes, oh, I think I would like to take the three girls back to the hotel and have some fun. What do you say? She's counting money, she thinks she made a cash cow. And he goes, what do you say? She goes, well, that's going to cost you a lot of money. He goes, how much are we talking? They barter back and forth, $700 per girl, $2,100 later. Unbeknownst to the girls, unbeknownst to the mamazon, this guy, this rescuer, is hopping into a taxi van where he is going to an undisclosed place, an open parking lot, three Thai ladies set up a long 8-foot table, and put at the very Beginning of the table, they put toys. Right next to the table, they put clothes. Right next to that, they put food. And right next to that, they put pictures. And as soon as the taxi van shows up, all of a sudden, three Thai ladies stand up and the taxi door opens and they bow and they say this, "This man's not going to hurt you and neither are we. We would like to offer you these gifts free of charge. You can go right now if you like, but you can take them." The three girls come outside of the taxi van and all of a sudden, they look at the clothes, they're grabbing stuff. They're like, "We've heard you haven't eaten for the last 16 hours. Feel free to eat." And then the lady right on the end, she goes, "These are some of our friends. And they're pictures of girls. Little signs, come. It's good here. There's food. There's a bed. There's clothes." They're like, "This taxi driver will take you right back or you can come with us and we'll give you everything you need. A place to live, a way to make money a different way. We'll give you food and an education. We'll teach you how to read and write Thai. But you have to choose." All three of them said yes, and that youngest girl is 5 years old. Now listen to this. Listen. How big is God? You answer. No, come on. Does God truly know everything? You can say amen or just nod your head like, "I think he does." Does God actually care for every individual soul and have his eyes on even the sparrow? Amen. You can nod your head, or you can say, "I think he does." Go ahead. Ready for this one? The 5-year-old girl was in the bar for only 3 days. In the 3 days, she had people visiting her. 72 hours goes by. And the first rescuer enters the door. The oldest girl was talking to her like, "We'll try to get out of here." Those three girls are in care in Thailand. God is good. He's big. He's got his eyes on the smallest. He's had enough. Our Father is good. And he's big. Look at this. You see this picture? We were walking in the streets. Remember that mile that we walked? This was one of the pictures by the photographer. Look at that picture. Who's the slaves? Choose. Come on. Not trick question. Raise your hand. It's okay to actually say bikini girls or guy on the, raise your hand. You're not vulgar if you say, I need you to say something. Somebody, raise your hand. Guy on the ground? Good. You going to say something, sister? The ladies on the left? When it comes to human trafficking, you're right. We walk by this guy. He has got one arm, one leg, and he's got one arm going like this, and he's pushing a can like this. We see this. It burns our eyes. All of us are like, we got to give. The guide is like, stop. No, no. He is not getting that money. And we're like, what? According to human trafficking, you nailed it. But according to God's word, all of us are slaves to the evil one until we find Jesus. There isn't anything that's going to change in your life. You might change location. You might change behavior. You might actually get protected. But you're still dead. We're dead. We have no hope. This world has nothing to offer. And one of the things that has kept us going on this mission is that we believe rescue and the gospel go hand in hand. I'd like to have you turn your Bibles to Luke 15. Go to the next one. Brother, what's your name back there? Nathan? Go to the next slide. The Dominican Republic looks like this. Every time we bring down a team, we have teams come into the strip and talk to bar ladies. They like to hover around Americans. And so that's what we do. But you can't bring a Bible. I'm sorry, you can't. You need to bring clothes, you need to bring food, and you need to think about them. The Bible comes later. These four Haitian ladies with Paige White, our intern for the summer, they're Haitian. The only thing we can do for Haitians in the Dominican Republic is bring them aid. We can bring them clothes, we can bring them food, but if they hop in our car and we get caught, we're kicked out of the country and they're heading back to Haiti. They're all illegal. It's like 10 out of 10 are illegal. And so when we come and bring teams down, one of the biggest things I see is this. Are you ready? I see the walls go up. And all of a sudden, I see these Christians that are like, don't touch it. Easy, Europe. Yeah, easy. And we're like, chill out. They're just people. Being a prostitute isn't a contagious disease. It's not going to jump on you. And we spend most of our time getting people to just calm down. We spend the next amount of time teaching them about what Jesus actually did. What he actually did when he was here. And then we spend a lot of time worshiping and praying. And we do this. We lay hands on one another. Because James chapter 5 says, come to one another, confess and anoint each other so that you can be healed. We do that so when you're going out, the evil one who's got demons watching you, who knows you're coming into his playground, says this, sick them. Destroy her. Hook him. And in the name of Jesus, we walk out and we talk to people. And the Haitian and the Dominican comes up. Hola, papi. We want to play with you. Come on, papi. And they'll go to grab you. And you go ahead, grab me. No gracias. No gracias. No gracias. Do you think they've ever had somebody say no gracias? It's more like this. How much? Sure, come on. How much can we do before I have to pay? So just in us opening our mouths and saying no thank you, the light of Christ is all of a sudden beaming to the roof because it's night and day. So when we come in there, we're teaching people this is a place to love people. But you're in the war zone. You go out in the name of the Lord. You arm yourself in the armor of the Lord. You go out in the name of the Lord. And if you don't talk to anybody, you're praying heaven down on them. Isn't that unusual? When was the last time we wanted to walk into Walmart and pray heaven down on the lost? They're okay, people. They're good. Don't you imagine? Satan's excited about that. If I can keep Mission Point Church thinking those people are good, thinking these people are good, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. This is a big aha for me. I have generations of pastors in our family tree. All of my brothers are pastors. My dad was a pastor. My uncle's a pastor. We've got Christian authors in our family. Nobody is going to the dark street unless Christians go there. And if you ever have time, you should read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, "And the God of this age has blinded the minds of those that believe not." The God of this age has creeped in and blinded the minds of those who believe not. Therefore, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus for his sake, their sake, for God's sake. Because if we keep clothed and covered, there's only one person who's going to suffer. The one who's lost. So in Luke 15, you see this unbelievable story. Unbelievable. The story of, quote, the prodigal. The story of the lost sheep. The story of the lost coin. But it kicks off. And Jesus was talking to sinners and tax collectors. And somebody gets hacked. And they're muttering to themselves, "Who is this man that talks with sinners and eats with them?" You got to know, this is 3 months before he's getting ready to be crucified. You got to know this, that the Pharisees are the ones speaking. They're trying to affirm amongst themselves in the religious law, we don't allow people to hang out with sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors and notorious evildoers. We don't allow that. You need to be good like us. Did you know the Pharisees had a morning prayer that says, "Thank you, God, that I am not a Gentile sinner or a heathen. I am a Pharisee." That was in their morning prayers. Isn't that interesting? Jesus left King of glory, King of the throne, Son of God, comes down to earth to do what? Hang out with sinners and tax collectors. Did you know this isn't the only time? Did you know Luke 5:35? He's hanging out with people who are sinners, and the Pharisees are angry. In Luke chapter 7, two different times, he's talking to a person who's a prostitute. He's talking to a politically racist person. And the Pharisees are angry. In Ezekiel, it talks about, and the Messiah will come and he will be with those. It's unbelievable. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says this, "I have come to save that which is lost." Quick question. If we are to have a personal relationship with Jesus, if our model of how to live as the body of Christ is Jesus, then what about the sinners? Are we okay with people, sinners, people coming in and sitting down? I gotta be honest with you. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. I was the youth pastor who liked people coming to Christ, but then get rid of that. Don't bother me with that. Oh, you still need to be sanctified. Go get a leader. I don't want to help you with that. Okay, you're talking a little too much. Do we need to see a counselor for you? Do you know why it was such a big... Because when you sit down with a person, a sinner, a prostitute, a hustler, a tax collector, somebody who was evil in the eyes of the Jews, in the Pharisees, when you sat down with them, do you know what that meant? That you liked them and you were accepting of them. And I'm like, Jesus died for the whole world that we can have life. Don't you think he's accepting the sinner, not the sin? He died for that. I'm talking about the sinner. I'm talking about Keith. Me, the sinner. I'm talking about my life. If he held that rule of thumb, I'd be dead. I'd be dead. Is there anybody who would be living if he didn't have with the sinner? I'm asking you a really straight up question. Do we really like Jesus? Do we really like him? Because he didn't just hang out here. Do we really want to be like the Son of Glory? Do we want to be like the first parable? The next slide, look at this. There was a shepherd who has 99 sheep. One of the sheep gets lost. The shepherd leaves the 99. It's no coincidence that Jesus shared this one first. He rescues the one, carries him back. You ready for this? Pay close attention. And asks all of his friends, hey, I got my sheep back. It's on me. We're going to have it up tonight. Can we make it 97? Ooh, don't go too low. 92, 92. Okay, we still got 92. No! I am the one. Keith Malugin is the one. And Jesus, the King of Glory, says this. There's more rejoicing in all of heaven at the repentance of one sinner. There's more rejoicing in all of heaven at the repentance of one. My challenge is really harsh. And I don't mean for it to be harsh. I actually mean for it to tell you, I'm confessing to you. I'm confessing to you that if Jesus didn't like the sinners, I'd still be dead. I look like those guys. I don't look like the guys, the Pharisee guys. I'm not that guy. I've never been that guy. I'm that guy. And here's what's really bizarre about it. In the first parable, shepherd goes out, brings back the sheep. In the second parable, the woman cleans her whole house, finds the coin, party at both houses. And in the third parable, no one goes out. The father has already dispensed his inheritance to his boys. And the lascivious one, the one that's crazy, expletive, and he's not accepted, he's left, and he's wasted it all, and he's wasted his life, and he's caught in the crossbow, and he comes back and he's like, Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. And his father's like, No, I don't care. Get the best robe. Do you know whose robe that is? The father's. Get the ring. You know what the ring is? Authority. Get the fattest calf. You know what that is? The most expensive. That means the whole community was coming to receive the son. But there's one still missing. And there's no celebration because he is angry. And Jesus heard the Pharisees muttering amongst themselves, who is this man that sits with sinners? And he says these three stories. Did you know prodigal means? It means no self-control. It means living with no control. The older brother had all the control in the world, but he was a straight-up liar. The younger brother had no control, and he destroyed his life. We are, and the Father is. We, the body of Christ, must see Jesus as reaching into our life and saying, if you love me, obey me. Go. If you love me, help me reconcile sinners to the Father. Go. If you have faith and trust me and you're scared, I overcame the world. I've got you. Go. My challenge to you . Where are you at? We fall into one of two categories. That was the point from Jesus. I'm just wondering if you would be a person who's saying, well, actually, Keith, I look like the older brother, but I'm the younger brother. I'm a workaholic, and I'm destroying my family because of it. Maybe you're like, I behave in here, I come, I'm looked at, I'm part of great teams and all of that, but Keith, I'm actually looking good so that I can secretly control things in my life and get pleasure out of you, the older brother. Keith, I got to be honest with you. I resonate with getting mad at people. I resonate with getting mad at the sinner behaving like a sinner. Older brother. Or maybe you're the younger. And you need to hear this. The love of Father goes greater than any list of sins that you can possibly come up with. Jesus overcome the world for all of us. Is there a chance that today you just want to realign your heart with him and say, I got it. I got it. I'm going to love the sinner, the one. Why? Because he loved you and me. Let me pray for you. The musicians, if you guys could do this, this would be amazing. Maybe you would come up and sing and give us a chance just to think for a minute. Bow your heads. God, we love you. We need you. We'd fall apart without you. We ask, Father, that you go into our different categories in our heart and your spirit changes anything that we're trying to hide and not be honest with. God, maybe we're being bold enough to say, I got it. And I want to be that shepherd. I want to be the woman who cleans the house and finds the one. I want to be like Jesus. And I want to show the Father's love to the sinner. And I've even got somebody in mind that I want to come and I want to pray for. God, if those people like me are in here, God, would you pour out your spirit on them and let them speak to you and confess that and commit and realign and just say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'll do it. I want to be like Christ. If you're one of those people or maybe something else, I'm going to ask you here in a few minutes, in the name of Jesus, just come. And just for the time of maybe one song or one verse or something, maybe you just want to just pray for the person. Pray for the person that God's put on your heart. God, we ask, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.